Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, presented by your local Hyundai dealers. This is Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station. 670 The Score is Chicago Sports. Chicago Sports is The Score. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. In Odyssey Station. The Score! Hit and Run Sundays from 9 a.m. to noon.
The hitter has to protect, and if it pitches 2 inches inside, he can't do much for it.
Maxwell hit, and Moncada with a home run! Number two! And it's 2-0. 3-1. Ground ball. Rizzo can't.
Ball that's been put in play by the Cubs, it's even come close to being a base hit.
Here's the 0-1. Gomes hits one in the air. Deep left field. Going back is Peralta at the track. Looks up. It's gone.
Until now.
Yan Gomes tying the ball game up. A solo drive to left field. 1-1. Cubs and Diamondbacks here in the fourth. Yan Gomes. 1-for-3, a solo home run in the fourth. Bases loaded, no one out. Ninth inning, the pitch. Line drive, hit into center field. It'll fall in for a base hit. Contreras scores, and the Cubs take the lead. 2-1 over Arizona on the RBI single by Yan Gomes in the ninth.
Hit and Run Sundays from 9 a.m. till noon. It's time for Hit and Run with your host, Matt Spiegel.
Well, thank you, Rick Vardy. Good morning, everybody. It is a Sunday morning, time for baseball conversation all season long. What's up, everyone? Happy Sunday to you. Should be another pretty one around here today. I do believe, said the guy who really hasn't checked the weather forecast in detail. But you know what? It was so glorious yesterday. It's been really overall glorious for the past couple days. I'm just going to go ahead and assume that baseball season and spring and eventually summer are here. Just we're locked and loaded. Can we be done with going back to things in the 40s or the 50s and dreary and such? That would be nice. Hope everyone is doing well. Looking forward to talking baseball with you as I always do on a Sunday morning in this two-team town. 3 hours to do whatever we want. We got lots to do. 2 ninth-inning wins, as you heard right there, and an open put together by our man Sean Sears producing. Here's what's going on today. Paul Sullivan of the Chicago Tribune is coming on at 10 o'clock. Now, I love Sully. Sully is a venerable baseball salt. He is a pillar, as I use salt and pillar so close together for all you Bible fans on a Sunday morning. He's a pillar of baseball wisdom, an institution of sorts, and the man used to intern and be a runner for Mike Royko. But here's why he's on. Did you see Anthony Rizzo's hug on him? John Greenberg had tweeted it the other day. Rizzo's hug of Paul Sullivan just obfuscated Sullivan's face. You couldn't even see him. So we've got some of that to talk about with the Rizzo return, but Sully's been on the south side where the games of consequence against two teams that should be both in the playoffs, the red-hot New York Yankees and the Chicago White Sox, who last night with the walk-off have put themselves back, just what, 2 games back in the American League Central. I know it has felt terrible. I get it. But at 500, the White Sox at 16-16 are two back in a division that is going to be there for them. And if you've listened to me at all, either here on It and Run on Sunday mornings or during the week with Danny Parkins, 2-6, you probably know how I feel, which is I think they are going to win this division still. And I still sit here saying that. I don't think they'll be much of a threat against very good teams who play a nice, complete, and clean brand of winning baseball in the playoffs. I fear that a lot of those issues will come back. But I do believe that the talent level over the course of 162 is going to mean that the White Sox do eventually win this division. And they find themselves just two games back of Minnesota as we stand here. But Lord knows there are issues to discuss. There are frustrations. I know from the couple of nights before this walk-off win and just in general if you're watching them and using your eyes. In fact, a little bit later on this hour, a national baseball voice lets you know, White Sox fans, that you're not alone in seeing what you see. So Sully's going to come on at 10, and we'll talk about both sides of town with him. There's some individual Cubs positives I want to focus on a little bit in the 10 o'clock hour. Some individual players who are doing some things that need to be acknowledged, even as the team is struggling. But, you know, struggling speaks. This is a good moment. Enjoy the good moment. You like good stuff. Let the Cub fans feel happy. They just won a series in San Diego. Split the first couple in Arizona. It's all right. Could win another series today, this afternoon. Kyle Hendricks is back and pitching like the Kyle Hendricks you know for the most part. Justin Steele today against Umberto Castellanos. That's fun to say. Today at 3:10 Central, you'll hear that one on 670 The Score. By the way, the White Sox and Yankees with their final game at 1 o'clock today. Nestor Cortez of the Yankees, who was just tremendous his last time out against Michael Kopech, who has been very, very good with regularity for the White Sox. So we'll talk about some of that in the 10 o'clock hour, as I mentioned. At 11 o'clock, Jack McMullen, that is the play-by-play broadcaster for the AAA Indianapolis Indians of the Pittsburgh Pirates system. They just had the White Sox AAA team for a week. That's how the schedule works in the minors now. It's the same two teams battling it out for 1 week to minimize travel. And in a developmental league, I think it makes all the sense in the world. I've heard good things from friends of mine that work in the minors. So Jack has just seen a bunch of Charlotte Knights of consequence, including Yolbert Sanchez, who White Sox fans are kind of desperate for, hoping he comes up to play second base sometime soon. He just saw Andrew Vaughn on a rehab assignment. Yermín Mercedes is down there now. Jake Berger is down there now. And Jack also has seen plenty of Iowa. So he's seen Brennan Davis, Cub fans. He has seen Caleb Killian, who's absolutely great right now for the AAA Des Moines, Iowa Cubs, and is probably looking at a call-up sometime this season. We'll see how ready Jack thinks he is. And we'll also get a chance to talk through some of those minor league rules that will be coming your way in the bigs, the pitch clock. I know that Jack had a game last night. I think he said there were, 11 walks, 13 walks? I could look back at the text. But the game, the full game got in less than 3 hours. Yeah. So
wow.
17 combined walks, actually, Sean Sears. 17 combined walks in a 9-inning AAA game last night, 2 hours and 57 minutes with the pitch clock.
Ah, man, that's music to MLB's ears.
I think so, and their ears. I mean, ears are like, I don't even know where the ears are. Where is that? What part of the body are the ears?
I think it's near the ear.
It's like an auxiliary ear that's near the ear.
Just like the area in front of it, you know.
Yeah, that makes all the sense in the world. 312-644-6767 is the phone number, as you can hop in and talk Cubs and Sox and anything you like. And we'll get to matters of import. But look, I got to tell you, it's a beautiful night to be at a ball game last night. Me and two other dads, my brother-in-law being one of them, three dads with our three boys, one boy at 10, one boy at 11, one boy at 12, hanging out at the White Sox game. We tried to get there early and enjoy the tailgate, but we couldn't for a couple different reasons. We should have. It would have been a beautiful day to hang out for a good 2-3 hours in the parking lot, play catch, play bags, that kind of thing. Saw people doing it. But then we went in, And we all took different moments, all three dads. I kept noticing this, trying to get our boys into the game. You know, I had a point where like, hey, Ruben, what's the score? What's the score of the game? Oh, yeah, there's a game going on is what I saw on his face as he was enjoying peanuts and then later on Dippin' Dots and you do what you do. What's the score? Oh, okay. 3-0? No, that's 2-0. How many outs? I don't know. Where are outs? You see that big O over there? B-S and O, ball strikes and out. So, you know, we would all do that kind of thing. All the dads would take turns trying to get the kids in. For me, because Ruben likes math, I was like, hey, what do you think exit V-E-L means? And he's like, velocity? I'm like, well done, sir. Well done. Yes. Exit velocity. That's right. That's how hard they hit it. Every single pitch you see right there. And, you know, you have different levels of involvement from the kids and sometimes from the dads. It's a ballpark on a beautiful night. There's lots to do. There's lots to look around, things to eat, people to talk to, fun to be had. It's okay to experience it on a multiple different levels, right? You're exposing them to the joys and the feeling and the vibes, babe, of the ballpark. End of the game, trying to establish the drama of the moment, the importance of the tension that was standing there before us. White Sox had a 2-0 lead. Then they eventually blew it, and now it's 2-2, and now they're batting. And if they can get a hit here with that guy on second, he's very fast, and they can win it. And nobody of my six was as into it as your local broadcaster right here, as your multi-level baseball person speaking to you right now on 670 The Score. Me, I'm taking notes. I was texting Chris Tannehill briefly. I was needing someone else to feel the magic of the tension with me. I was baseball lonely at the game. I'm at the game. I think I have a problem. Like, what? I wasn't feeling the drama and the tension enough. Everybody's having fun. I'm like, yeah, fun, but let's watch the game. I think I have issues. Don't I? I think I have issues. But at the end, even though the kids weren't super emotionally engaged in the balls and strikes of it, they did notice when the entire ballpark exploded with happiness and there were fireworks and people high-fiving strangers, the kids feeling it, joining in, good vibes, happiness. Then it took a long time to get out of there, as it sometimes does. If you wait until the end, can be a little bit of a battle. But boy, that was fun. And that was a glorious sort of Chamber of Commerce kind of night for the White Sox and that ballpark. So great to be there. And I recommend going to ball games. You know, it's the thing that I think about sometimes. If you're listening to Hit and Run, you probably already are somebody who's going to go to ball games, you know? But if you've been thinking about it and you're like, oh, it's too much of a hassle. Yeah, it's a hassle. Traffic can be something. Getting out can be something. All of that can be a little... You know, things are a little pricey, sure, but oh my God, the joy and the vibes on a beautiful night with the family, birthing new fans and future fans. Highly recommend. Hi, I'm Matt Spiegel, and I recommend going to baseball games. Had a good time there last night, that's for sure. All right, let's talk about some of the specifics with these wins last night. With you, the White Sox fans, and you, the Cub fans. I'm wondering, really, for Sox fans, how do you feel? Are you in the same kind of place that you've been? Like, they are frustrating. And believe me, I know about the daily Tony La Russa bullpen frustrations, especially that's a guy who was brought in because of his schematic genius, theoretically, and his comfort in managing a bullpen. And this is a big, big money bullpen. So there is the daily bullpen frustrations and the daily issues of watching a game and saying, man, they just don't play super clean. But this is also a really good, talented team. And now that Yoan Moncada is back and feeling comfortable being himself from both sides of the plate, and by being himself, I mean taking pitches. That walk that he drew off Chapman last night, that's a big deal. It's a big, big deal. You know, obviously the homer he hit the other night to tie it in what ended up being the 15-7 loss, that was a big deal. And he'll have hits that matter, but just taking pitches, his presence in that lineup between T.A. and Abreu and then eventually Luis Robert, that is the correct top four right now. If I'm Tony La Russa, and I'm not, I lock in on that as my top four for a good long while. Don't mess with it unless you need to for some reason.
Yeah, I like the balance at the top of the White Sox lineup. Like you said, Moncada, if he's going to show a little more patience there, that's a big, big building block for that White Sox lineup then.
That's what he does. He used to do it, obviously, to a fault. All those called strike threes he took in his first full season, thinking he should get the respect that he hadn't earned yet. He has earned it now. He does have a good eye. And when you're comfortable being patient like he is, do it, especially in this lineup. It is an offensive DNA game changer for this lineup. So, you know, that walk is such a big deal because then it means all you're worried about off Chapman is contact. Get a little bloop. Get a little dribbler. Just a little bingle. And that's what Robert did, right? He could shorten up and just know, I just got to make some contact, get a little base hit. And T.A. can sprint home, and you'll win on the walk-off, as they did last night. It's a huge walk. And those things just mean so much. And I've been frustrated at times watching the aggression at the top of that White Sox lineup when it was, you know, Anderson and Robert and then Abreu. No, no, no. Moncada back is a big deal. It'd be nice to get Yasmani Grandal playing well. But there's other frustrations, too. Yasmani Grandal being out there last night to finish defensively when you've got a lead. I feel like Tony does not acknowledge, and maybe it's a respect thing with a veteran like Grandal, but that guy should not finish tight games when Reese McGuire is available and Grandal does not have another at-bat coming in the eighth or the ninth. If Grandal hits in the eighth like he did last night, go ahead and replace for defense in a tight game. It's a one-run game. You might need to control the running game. With Grandal out there, absolutely no chance of doing that. No chance. And there's other things with Grandal out there. Watching last night, seeing the lead from third base. I guess it was Glaber. It was Glaber out there with the lead from third base. Glaber Torres. And seeing, you know, the aggressiveness with which that lead is taken from third base, because Grandal's not going to throw it out there behind him in a one-run game. And you could argue that very few catchers would. You know Contreras would. That is an aggressive man. But, man, guy on third in a one-run game should be afraid of taking a lead that big, afraid of being halfway down the line and then slowly walking it back. So I struggle with seeing Grandal out there defensively to finish games. So anyway, look, it is 32 games in. There are 130 more to go. 100 games before you even get to September, when you'll be fighting it out for that division lead. Theoretically. Or will they step up and take charge over these next couple of months, as I think they ought to, frankly, and be in first place in that division with some sense of command and confidence by the middle of July. Lots to talk about. Phone lines are open at 312-644-6767. More to talk about from the night at the ballpark, and we can certainly talk about that with you, your ballpark experience, if you'd like. White Sox fans, how you feeling? We'll get to those Cubs individual positives a little bit later on as well. Paul Sullivan, top of the hour. Your calls and anything you want regarding MLB. Chris Kampka, by the way, the Sultan of Stat from NBC Sports Chicago, will join us around 11:30 for Cam Connected, tying the room together as he always does, like a nice area rug. Looking forward to that. And you can also text us via the text zone, brought to you by Hyundai of Algonquin, Rose and Hyundai of Algonquin. So 312-644-6767 to get in. It's Spiegs on Hit and Run on a Sunday morning here on The Score.
The premier baseball show in Chicago, Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel.
Another 3-2 and a base hit to center. Tim around third should be able to score, no problem. And he does. It's 1-0.
That is the first run scored in inning number one for the White Sox. They win it over the Yankees last night, 2-1. Some interesting stuff to think about and talk about from the course of that game. It's Speaks, by the way, here with you on a Sunday morning, Hit and Run. The bullpen, I'm trying to figure out exactly what the limitations are for the bullpen. Because Lord knows, I get frustrated on the daily with Tony. I know a lot of people do, but boy, he's got some awkward limitations for big money relievers in that bullpen. And people wrote about it this week. Jim Margulis over at Sox Machine, one of the best, he wrote about it. James Fegan over at The Athletic, he wrote about it, and both with the issues concerning this. When you spend a lot of money in the bullpen, as the White Sox have, and a lot of assets, you know, Garrett Crochet, a first-round pick, and then let's bring him up and use him. Trading Madrigal and Cody Hoyer to get Kimbrel, and that obviously doesn't work out. But spending real money for Hendricks, spending money for Graveman, spending money for Joe Kelly, going out to get Tapera. And it really does make sense with how important the bullpen is. And with a guy schematically like Tony and with Ethan, Katz, the way they think about it. But there's just so much volatility in the bullpen because arms get exhausted and arms get tired. And then people need days and they need days off. And sometimes there are situations that we don't fully understand going on. The realities of the limitations in managing this high-priced bullpen have to be acknowledged. And a lot of people have been thinking about it this week. So I'm trying to think about it a little bit as well. Because when you spend big money in the bullpen, it should mean, theoretically, that you have fewer limitations because you've got, oh, I got this guy and that guy and this guy. I'm cool here. But the limitations are kind of inherent to the roles of the bullpen. And if the limitations are indeed inherent to the roles, then maybe it should mean less prioritization of spending. That's certainly a thought process that is common sometimes for people weary about spending money in the pen, that like the limitations are going to be inherent to the roles. So maybe they are. But I help me out. White Sox fans, if you've been following along, listening to everything post game, and I know that some of our smartest White Sox listeners are out there, and I always appreciate it. Graveman is essentially not going to be used 2 days in a row at the moment. That's news. Joe Kelly also maybe not going to be used 2 days in a row. Trying to figure out from like the hints that La Russa has said and the management, the Graveman management is concerning to me because he is probably your best overall reliever, especially right now because Liam Hendricks is not throwing sliders with confidence at all. Like, I think he only threw two sliders last night out of 21 pitches. The other night in the blow-up against Cleveland, he couldn't get the slider over the plate, so he just kept coming back with heat, and everybody, including Josh Naylor, knew it was coming. I love Graveman's arm. I love Graveman's stuff. Love his mentality. But did not realize he was going to come with some of the management limitations and concerns. And Kelly, it's still early for him. Obviously, a disaster the other night when he couldn't find the plate. Last night, made some decent pitches, just, you know, Things got in his way in terms of some balls finding the holes and stuff like that. But trying to figure out what the limitations are because it's trickier. So it's not as if it is a push-button situation for Tony in his defense. And there still will be daily TLR frustration and anger because this is baseball and this is how it works. But, man, I'll say one thing that I really do believe passionately. And as I'm talking about Graveman, maybe you'd understand and agree. I know a texter already got in with it as well. That Graveman is should be setting up Hendricks. Graveman should be like, to me, eighth inning and or seventh inning if you're going to use him for two innings. Seventh or eighth. If you want to go to somebody in that middle closer spot, that person to come out of the pen in the fifth or the sixth and put out a flame, we know we have seen that. From Ronaldo Lopez. It could also be Joe Kelly. Like, if it's a choice between Kelly for the eighth inning or Graveman for the eighth inning, obviously depending on the matchups. I'd rather see Kelly in there in the middle innings and Graveman Hendricks. Going out Graveman Hendricks is what you want, in my opinion. Like, you could get, especially on a night when they're rested, you ought to be able to get 7, 8, and 9 out of Graveman and Hendricks.
I feel like that's what you envisioned, right? When you sign guys like Kelly and Graveman, that they're getting you to that Hendricks option there in the ninth. It hasn't quite worked out that way, but it's also early. Like, we haven't seen too many outings here. Hopefully this bullpen kind of works through some things, but it's a concern because, like you said, you allocated a lot of money to this bullpen and it hasn't quite been dominant.
Well, yeah, you got to figure out so what order guys are doing it, and if they are doing it based on, you know, swing plane versus pitch type, and certainly matchups you'd hope would be the focus. You know, maybe there's a reason that Graveman was first in terms of the lineup, and I'm open to it. Maybe there's a reason that Graveman was first out of that pen last night. But boy, I really love the idea. If you as a team can start the seventh with Graveman, knowing you've got Hendricks in the back, I think you're feeling like game is over. You're having that anxiety reduction of my two best guys are here to go. And obviously Bummer would be available when healthy in between those guys if needed, or in addition to those guys. But I know Kelly has been a closer. I know Kelly has been an eighth inning guy. But right now, to me, Kelly is not somebody I would use before Graveman in terms of the late innings. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. Speaks with you here on Hit and Run. You want to hop in? You can do it. A couple open phone lines for you. Let's go to Dave on the south side, who's on the score. Dave, good morning. You're on Hit and Run. How are you?
Good morning, Spiegs. Love your show.
Thanks,
I'm gonna make
buddy.
This real quick. You were talking about the baseball experience. I'm 65 years old, have not missed an opening day with my son, who was 27, since he was 9. Used to write phony notes to get him out of school to make these. And my biggest frustration at this time is they're still only taking credit cards at the vendors. I give cash. I'm a big tip guy. I love it. They work for tips. I wish we could get back to normal and take cash to vendors in the registers.
That's
my point. I want to make it short. I love your pitching analogies because I agree with you with Graven, but that's it.
Thanks, Dave. I appreciate the call. You know, man, I'm sorry. I got to tell you, you got to step into the modern credit card world and just embrace it. I know. I feel you. It feels nice to tip in cash. You can still tip with the credit card. And it still gets to them. Fun fact, if the people are doing their jobs right, they take those cash tips at the concessions and they put them in a jar and they all share their tips. At the end of the night, they count them up all together. Then they do some math and figure it out and split it up. When you tip on the credit card, that should be, and you know, man, this is worth looking into for fan peace of mind, but that should be going to the same kind of overall group till that is then split up between the people that are there. Lord knows, when I tip a vendor with a credit card, when they're coming around with a beer or a hot dog, or I tip a vendor at a concession stand on the credit card, and I choose the 20% option as opposed to the 10% option, the 15% option, they seem to appreciate it in the same way that they did when I gave them a 5 as opposed to 2 singles. You know? So if they're appreciating it, and they understand, and they're getting what they need, then, man, you just have to embrace it. I got to tell you, going to the ball game last night, I left the wallet in the car. I grabbed the single card and the ID, the credit card and the ID, put that in the pocket. I'm traveling lighter. My shorts are fitting into the seat,
man,
more comfortably.
It's summertime. You don't want baggy shorts. You can't have too many stuff on there.
That's what I'm saying. You can eliminate the entire wallet. This is the beauty.
See, that's great.
Of the card-only system. Embrace it. I know even you, Dave. You can get there, man. You can get there. Think about it. Just that card in the pocket. And let's say you're wearing a jacket or a shirt with a pocket. You put that card up top. You don't even have to get up and, like, tussle with your pants and, like, reach back for the wallet, possibly expose something that shouldn't be exposed. If you're not wearing a belt, I'm trying to wear a belt, though. My wife is helping me remember, you know, Matt, wear a belt, for God's sakes. But, yes, I think what I'm trying to say is, Dave, get with the times, babe. I'm not on Team Cash anymore. I'm just not. This is W. Wilson. This is Twitchy Wilson on, he's not on Twitch, though. He's on the phone lines. He dialed a number. The number is 312-644-6767 if you want to talk baseball this morning on Hit and Run. What's up, Wilson?
What's up, Steegs? How you doing, bud?
I'm good, man. I don't even know what to call you anymore. I know you as Twitchy, as W. Wilson Twitchy. There's too many Wilsons. There's a W involved. What do I call you, W. Wilson?
You call me Twitchy, man. That was the highlight of Shane's barbecue out in the parking lot with you yelling, Twitchy, Twitchy, come here.
All right, Twitchy, what you got?
Hey, a couple of things. So my son is 13, and he's never played baseball. It was never his thing. And I take him like twice a year to a game, and little by little, he's been more and more interested. And I mean, I've been doing this since he's been 8, and I took him a couple weeks ago to a game, and he was finally keeping track of the score, and he knew what inning we were in. It used to be literally I'd have to take his phone by the 7th inning or else he would run out of battery, and then the car ride home would be hell. But yeah, it gets better over time. I think it just sinks in like, hey, this is something that I should appreciate. I don't do it all the time.
Yeah, man. It really is. Cause it's a nice relaxing evening when done correctly. It's just a matter of working on the logistics to get in and out on the front part. Yes, sir.
Absolutely. And as far as the White Sox are concerned, I mean, the way the Central is set up, the Twins are going to be a bigger pest. I'm not worried about the division. I'm worried about the fact that this was a team that had championship aspirations. We were told the window is open. You kind of almost La Russa-proofed the team. You went out and you got him a 7th, 8th, and 9th inning guy. I mean, okay, Hendricks had his struggles this year. But even if it's, Kelly, Graveman, Hendricks, and you really only need your starting pitching to go 6, it's still set up where, Tony can just sit back and kind of watch. And it seems like that's all he's done, because now you're seeing less fundamental baseball. You're seeing bullpen usage that makes no sense. And like you were talking even earlier with Grandal being in there after he batted in the 8th, there's no reason not to have a defensive replacement in the 9th and make sure that game stays in hand, where instead here we are hoping for a walk-off because, if they don't get that run in the 9th, chances are we're looking at a 10th inning blow-up again, because who are you going to put in 10th?
Yeah, well, he saves Matt Foster for the 10th. That's what he was doing the other night. And maybe Matt Foster is a guy who should get consideration as that middle closer, as that first guy out of the pen, in the 5th or the 6th to really put out a fire in a close game, whereas Rinaldo is the long man. So maybe that ought to be Foster. I just feel like Kelly ought to be sort of eased in at this point until he gets very, very comfortable, because he has not looked very effective. Thanks for the call, Twitchy. Appreciate you. 312-644-6767. Look, this is me admitting on the bullpen stuff that it is often more complicated because of arms that need maintenance and need rest. And sometimes we don't know what that situation is. I stand by the criticism that I had the other night of, when things really blew up, when they pulled ahead 9-7, did the Yankees, and then Tony kind of conceded right away and had Tanner Banks out there to face Giancarlo Stanton after leaving Kelly out there to face the lefty Rizzo. I stand by that because you're coming off an off day, man. You're coming off an off day, and everybody was fully rested. That was a very frustrating situation. But then when you get into the daily grind of pen to be used yesterday, pen to be used tomorrow, you've got a lot of things to manage and sort of deal with. That's why it's interesting that Dallas Keuchel was so passionate last night about wanting to go out there for the 6th. And we'll get into that quote at some point here along the way, because he described what was a very tense 5th inning for the fans as saying he thought the fans were more upset about it than he was. That the fans were more stressed out about it than he was. That he was just kind of working his way towards getting a lefty up there and getting Rizzo up there and then doing something with him, as opposed to dealing with some righty matchups like Judge that he didn't really want any part of in that moment. So interesting stuff, and we'll see what develops. I do worry in general that Tony is sleepy, obviously, and he's had lots of moments of being sleepy. But look, here's the bigger thing. We have struck a chord. My phone, my personal phone, has exploded with input about the credit card versus cash at the ballpark.
Oh, really?
I've got people giving me thoughts on both sides. I've got texters at 312-644-6767 here on the Tech Zone with their thoughts. So that is certainly mixed in if you want to talk about it. I stand by the single card move and the lightening of the pants load, if you will. And I don't mean that in any way other than the way that I'm discussing right now.
I didn't take it any other way either.
Thanks, man. Appreciate you. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. Paul Sullivan at the top of the hour. Room for your phone calls on Cubs and Sox between now and then. And there is a national MLB voice that sees what you see, White Sox fans. We'll get to it as well here on Hit and Run on the Score.
The premier baseball show in Chicago. Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel.
The 1-1. Hayward, broken back, ground ball. Diving stop by Marte. Throws to first in time to get Hayward. But another run comes home as Hap scores. And it's now 4-1 Cubs over the Diamondbacks in the ninth.
Jason Hayward with the ground ball to the right side. Doing a new thing here on Hit and Run on a Sunday morning. And Lord knows it should have happened a long time ago. Playing music bumps that fit and match the opponents for our locals. Go ahead and bring this one up here, Sean Sears. Now, this is a beautiful section of The Only Living Boy in New York by Simon and Garfunkel from Bridge Over Troubled Water, or the album that had Bridge Over Troubled Water and So Long, Frank Lloyd Wright, but that's not the name of the album. Can't remember the name of the album. It's going to drive me insane. But anyway, that's the New York music bump. Sure, that's the Arizona game that we're playing there with the Cubs. But Sean, this is our day one. We're working out some kinks here. So, and not the kinks. We're not working them out because the kinks are not from either Arizona or New York, who the Cubs and the Sox are playing. So there probably will be no kinks at any point during the process. But if for the sake of transparency, that is a New York bump for the Arizona game. But it's okay.
We'll get it right this next one.
Oh, yeah, I know we will. I know we will. But I love it. I had to point it out just because it makes me happy to hear music that I love like that. As Sean and I both big music people, not so much on the afternoon show. Parkinson Spiegel 2 to 6 Monday through Friday. Often your compatriots on 670 The Score. 312-644-6767 if you want to hop in. Team credit card, team cash. Let's discuss. The single card move is just, it's absolutely, unequivocally the way to go. A text here from Shlomo Matzoball, who I believe is Irish, who says that he went to a money clip about 10 years ago. Emphatic thumbs up for no cash. I'm a former bartender. Tough for me not to always have cash, but man, it's liberating. Happy, beautiful Sunday. Right back at you, Shlomo. Other texters, though, getting in saying, look, you know what happens when you tip them with the card is that it gets taxed. Huh? Yeah. Yeah, that's right. So there's other people getting in there. Also, texter says, I don't know if it's true, but a beer food vendor at a counter at a Sox game told me they don't get the tips from the credit cards. That's why I always try to carry some cash to tip in cash, because that way I know where it's going. So that's interesting for our caller and for others. You could carry cash and throw around cash like you're, you know, like you're a gangster, like you're a made guy. Here, who needs $2, huh? You need it? I got it. Just bring a pile of singles to the ballpark. That's the only place you go in your life these days where you need a pile of singles. Bring a big batch of fives. Team cash, team no cash. This is Jason in Westmont on 670 The Score. Jason, good morning. Welcome into Hit and Run. How are you?
I'm doing well. Good morning, Speeds.
Good morning. Good morning.
Yeah, so I'm definitely on Team Credit Card here with this one. It's just faster. It's easier. It's more sanitary. It just gets things moving quicker. But much like some of your other callers and textures, when it comes to tipping, you got to go with cash. It's just the way to go. Everybody can appreciate how much you appreciate them by that dollar or $5 or $20 that you put in that cup.
All right, so we've happened on the happy medium here. So team credit card, but bring cash for the tip. I can't do it, man. I love the cleanliness. I love the cleanliness of single card living. It's just, whew, I feel fancy free. I feel like gloriously, blissfully near naked which of course nobody wants at the ballpark. But you know what I mean? I feel more seamless, more streamlined, more comfortable getting around the ballpark. Single card living, baby. But, it, you know, I do have concerns about the portion of the tips, but I need those fears to be allayed. I'm told, by the way, that the Chicago Dogs, our independent league friends over at the Chicago Dogs, just a delightful experience up there in Rosemont, had a credit card system that went down a little bit on Friday night. There was a couple innings where people were panicked. No one was able to get anything. There was screaming. Ketchup and mustard got in a big fight up the first baseline. It was ugly. It was ketchup and mustard everywhere. If people haven't seen over the Chicago Dogs games, ketchup and mustard are both represented in mascot form. And ketchup is a villain, which is funny. I don't agree, but ketchup is a villain. He's wearing an overcoat like a dark spy vibe. It's like a spy versus spy thing. Like mustard is just super friendly and lovable. And ketchup's a villain. But guess who the kids like more? Go ahead. Guess which of the two mascots the kids like more? That's right. It's ketchup. Somewhere I got pictures of our boy with both mustard and ketchup, and he seems to be smiling a little bigger with ketchup, I got to tell you. Now, granted, I think he likes ketchup more than mustard. Maybe that's it, too. I don't know. It's tough to argue with ketchup. It hits all of the taste buds all at once. All at once. 670, the score is where you are. 312-644-6767 is the phone number if you want to hop in. With that Cubs game last night, Wilson Contreras drawn a leadoff walk there in the ninth after a rough game Friday night in which he did not reach base via a hit and some other issues that were going on for Contreras on Friday night, that's for sure. He was, again, as a DH, present and effective last night, and Yan Gomes was good. Last night, Yan Gomes with the homer and then the RBI single as part of that ninth inning. And there are some individual positives to discuss, as we will be discussing a little bit after Paul Sullivan. But I got to address this on Contreras, because you look at it objectively from the state of the team right now, from the state of the farm system, from the state of the league and where we are in terms of catchers. I mean, there is no regular catcher with an OPS even over 8 other than Wilson Contreras. And his, obviously, is a lot better than that. It's crazy, though. Among all the catchers in baseball, I mean, Sal Perez is under 800. JT Realmuto is under 800. There's some who don't have enough at-bats to qualify in terms of the batting leaders. But in terms of, like, actual catchers who have played enough and hit enough, Contreras is having the best year by far. And obviously he's gotten a bit better defensively in terms of framing. And he also has a terrific arm, as we know, and is playing aggressive, playing with passion. David Ross quoted this week saying that this is the best he's ever seen Wilson. Jed Hoyer also saying that, especially offensively, the best the man has ever played. Sean, longtime Cubs guy, you see that, right? That's a great version of him.
Definitely. This is easily the best case scenario for Wilson. I saw, and I don't know if this is still up to date here, I'll have to take a look here, but I saw just even like a couple days ago, his weighted runs creation plus was nearly 25 points higher than that next catcher. So it was him at like 143. The next highest was, I think, Darnell at like 121. He's been absolutely one of the most efficient offensive guys right now. And especially when you talk about the position he's playing, like everything else you just listed there is what you're looking for in a catcher. And then the guy's also showing he's probably your best power bat in a lineup that doesn't have that right now.
So right now, Wilson playing this well, and you know the trade deadline is coming. You know that certain teams don't need catchers and won't want to go out and do it. But there's a big, old, obvious fit suddenly in New York where James McCann is on the injured list for a couple of months here. And that team is not afraid to do anything. So that's interesting. And I know how frustrating it is for Cub fans to see a guy playing this well, a guy that you have watched and seen grow and has been often as likable as Wilson has, emotional and passionate and so good. But he does have to be dealt. Like, I hope that Cub fans understand it stinks, but this is where you are. Now, you could argue that the organization put you here by making the decisions that they made. The first move is trading Darvish and acknowledging and showing the world that, yeah, probably going to be looking to flip the roster because they didn't think they could and or didn't want to sign so many of the offensive core. And then all of them got dealt. All of them. Rizzo and Bryant and Baez. And obviously Schwarber non-tendered. But Contreras is going to be dealt. It stinks to watch a guy be that good. And I'm sure to want him and feel like, man, he should be here. But at his age, with the state of catching and how long guys last and the value that you could get for him right now and where you are as a franchise, what your life cycle is as a franchise, I'll be very, very surprised if he's not dealt.
Yeah.
And I will look at the Mets situation as one to focus on very closely in the immediate future here. And we'll see. Maybe the Mets think they can survive and wait till McCann comes back.
But the Mets are the team I look at and say, like, if Wilson Contreras gets dealt, they have the pieces and the, you know, the fit there where it's going to make sense. But I don't know. The bat helps right now. DH could be available there. So there's options.
Of course it does. Of course it does. But it's a sad reality of where things are. And you can acknowledge where you are as a life cycle in terms of winning, losing, building, etc. And trading Wilson makes all the sense in the world. It is Spiegs here with you on Hit and Run. 670 The Score is where you are. Paul Sullivan in the Tribune joins us next. Keep it right here. Good morning, everyone.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.